to 1 Samuel, and tonight we'll venture into the 17th and get on over and maybe touch the 18th chapter tonight. Before we go on, though, in this next scene of Jonathan's life and the spirit power that we've been rejoicing in about Jonathan, David's soul was knit together with Jonathan's. We'll hear that tonight. We'll understand what a spiritual, heavenly love that surpassed even the love of a man and a woman. See, it's not of this earth, it's from above. And yet, before we get into more of that incredible encouragement that we've been receiving in Jonathan's life, the Lord's encouraged my heart. We need to rejoice in the scene that is right before that next scene. And it happens to be one of the most powerful stories in the Word of God. The faith given to a little shepherd boy. And the faith that given to him not to fear. The faith given to this little boy, in a sense, that no one else had that kind of faith. He looked right through the situation and all he saw was the will of God. There wasn't anything else that he saw except the will of God. And in walking in the will of God, it didn't matter what giant was there. Because, as brother prayed, what's hard for God? What is hard for God? And I pray, as I'm hearing these testimonies again tonight, there's a manifold thing to take tonight in this study, praise God. But this little shepherd boy is going to be encouraged to faith. He's going to stand and he's going to destroy a giant named Goliath. So let's go ahead and begin tonight in the 17th chapter. And I think we're going to just touch on a few of the verses that will show and express the like precious faith for God's best that was in the lives of Jonathan and David. And they shared that. That was that fellowship that they had. And I thank God, because as we saw in Jonathan's heart, and I pray we'll never forget that for our heart, what will the Lord work for me today? Lord, what you going to work for me today? Jonathan woke up that way. Praise the Lord. Not just one day. He woke up that day every day. And by the grace of God, we're going to see that David lived that kind of life, not just with Goliath, because his testimonies we're going to read here. I mean, man, he had this testimony before. Bears, lions, I don't know what else he was tearing apart, but he was tearing apart a lot of stuff. I've seen God do this in my life. He's faithful. This Goliath is nothing to him. Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? So, let's go ahead and begin to read from the 20th verse of chapter 17. This is David rising up early in the morning. And he left the sheep with a keeper, and he took and he went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to battle. And he shouted for the battle. See, David was excited about battle. Are you excited about battle? Or do you scream when you see battle? Are you shouting or screaming? See, I think that's what we've got to understand here. We've got to shout like brother over there. He's ready to fly a pew away. Praise God. You've got to shout for the battle. But see, only Paul's gospel is going to do that. Only the fullness of what the word of God in your day, and that's Paul's gospel in our day, isn't it? That's going to get us excited about the battle. It's going to come, and sometimes it'll shock you. It'll surprise you what'll come. You know these things. But as you look to the word of God, it's not strange. He told me this would be. And as you begin to get on your knees and you begin to worship God, and you go out in the power of his might, let me tell you something, you'll begin to shout when you see the battle. I see it coming, Lord, and I'm shouting for the battle. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. He'll perfect that which concerned me. Who are you to stand and defy the anointed of the Lord? Huh? Amen. Come on now. You're the apple of his eye. Believe in what he has. So David, he went down there and he shouted for the battle. Verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. See how much he loved them? Oh, he wanted just to encourage them. And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by the name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. Do you remember back when we were talking about Jonathan? Remember, he was amongst fearful brethren. We're amongst fearful brethren. I don't want to be a fearful brethren. I'm not fearful of this time. I'm not fearful of this world. Praise God. You know the truth You know perfect love? It casts out all fear. Praise God. That's why we need to pray for one another. These are things that are not just on a page. This is the Word of God that is written on our hearts, and we know these things. And by the power of His might, Lord, ignite faith to believe the Word of God in my life. So all the men of Israel, they were sore afraid. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to divide Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Think of all of the wealth that would be given if you would stand against that giant. That's your trial. Will you stand? And think, the victory's already been won. Amen? Amen. Come on now. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And we know these things. We stand and we believe God as we face these trials. And oh, what a reward that we have. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, that's the attitude we need to have. That's the attitude we need to have. When those subtleties of the enemy come at us, what is going on here? This is not right. The enemy is not going to defy our household. We're not going to go down this way. God help us to stand. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that kills him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, that's David's eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. You ever had a relative get mad at you when you speak the word of God? And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with these, whom hast thou hast left those few sheep in the wilderness? Notice how critical people get real fast. You want to make a stand on the word of God? Boy, they get critical. They'll find something to go after you about. No, we're going to stand. Oh, but you left this and you left that. No, I'm standing. And David, just is terrible what happened here. And look at this. Then he started to lie about, I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart. Man, that sure was convicting, wasn't it? I think there was a little cutting going on his brother. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? What are you talking about? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Now, it's sad, brothers and sisters, but sometimes when we stand in the truth, no one wants to hear it. But those are the champions by the grace of God. You find that in the Word of God. It wasn't going to come in great group and ceremony, the encouragement of the Lord. Oftentimes, it's a very isolated place. It's on the backside of a desert. It's when you have lost your family and your spouse says, why don't you just curse God and die? And that's when the Lord will minister to your heart. That's when it's time. As they say, the rubber hits the road. Honey, I'm going to show you how real it is. I don't have to ask God how real it is. He says, I'm going to show you how real I am. I'm going to show you that you love me. Isn't that something? I love when the Lord does that for my life. I know He loves me, but He's going to show me, because of His grace and mercy, that I love Him. Praise God. And I'm going to abide with Him. Hallelujah. And He's not going to test me and tempt me beyond what I can bear, because He's my God. He's for me. He's for you. And I'm going to believe Him in these things. Now, so it's sad when nobody hears it, but you know what? Here, and God, let me tell you something. His word never returns void unto Him. And somebody heard it. And here's what happened. Verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now remember, David's probably about 12 years old. We've got to kind of get a picture of this. And this is very interesting here. But something sparked Saul's heart. And it wasn't David's size, was it? It was David's words. It was the words that David spoke. It was the power of the Holy Ghost that was speaking through him. It was the word of the Lord that Saul perceived, that there was something here. Even though Saul wasn't a yielded vessel, but God had a part for Saul to be in this great blessing. And I know that it encouraged Saul even at this time. Think of all the things that were being set up here. He saw this young man. This young man would be the one that would come in and play that harp. This would be the young man that he would have jealousy against, that he would be throwing his spear at him. This young man would come in even after he hated him so much, but yet it would break Saul's heart because he did love him. It's very strange what battles can be in our lives. It's amazing what God is doing. Let's believe him. So David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He is a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as the one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Is that amazing? Now think of this. This is the king. And let me tell you something. Saul thought a lot about him being king, didn't he? How powerful were the words of David that were spoken to Saul as a 12-year-old boy, that this king was going to be convinced of heart to send forth this 12-year-old in to fight that mighty 8-foot-something giant. That was only the word of God. Because Saul's first action every time was thinking about Saul and himself. His esteem, how he looked, that he wouldn't look foolish, that even when he was wrong, he would never admit it. And to think that the Lord and the power of the word of God, because that was the word of God that was going to come forth. It didn't matter what Saul thought. David was going to go face that giant. Isn't that amazing? And so we know what happens. From that point, Saul says, "Here, take my armor." David says, "Well, I can't take this." After he puts it on, and you can see, I'm sure it's probably too big for him anyways, but it wasn't because of the size of the armor. He says, "I haven't proved this." So he takes the things that the Lord had proved in David's life. And you know what David knew in his life? He knew about the 5 smooth stones. He knew about the grace of God. And he knew that sling. And when you take the grace of God and you take it in the strength of what the Spirit gives you, you can stand against anything. And I love that. And I love that encouragement. And he went down to the brook to get them stones. And he heads off for that uncircumcised Philistine. Now, if you think about this again, remember Jonathan's boldness? When Jonathan woke up and said, "What will the Lord work for me today?" He didn't go and get a whole army of Israelites to go with him to go fight the Philistines, did he? No, he didn't. What he did was he went and got that young armor bearer. All he wanted was proven. He went and got the armor of the Lord, just like David did. So once again, we see these hearts are very much the same. Now look at verse 44 and what happens here in verse 44. It says here, "And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me.'" This is Goliath. He's saying, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Do you remember when Jonathan, when he asked the Lord if he was going to give him those Philistines into his hands? And he says, "Lord, if they tell me to come to them, then I know that you have given them to me." The same words that were spoken, hallelujah, from the enemy that drew David's heart to go into that giant, the same way. The enemy said, "Come unto me." Okay, it's on, because I know the Lord is with me. So I love that as well too. And then, like Jonathan, David goes in the might and in the name of the Lord. Let's read verses 47. "And all this assembly shall know," David speaking back here to Goliath, "that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." "And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines." One thing you'll know about David as well too, he doesn't use the word "me and I" very much. He says, "our hands." Isn't that amazing? See, he's speaking of God, he's speaking of the Lord with him, but he's also speaking of the people of the Lord. Even though they were defeated and they were fearful, he knew that this victory was for Israel as well too. Isn't that wonderful? Can you know that as you live a victory in the Lord, it's for your brethren? That's so beautiful. It's so monumental. And it was so sweet because David didn't want that acknowledgement to him. He knew that this was God. And everybody looking at David knew, well, that ain't going to be David. He's going to get squished anyways. But if he does come out on that, you know, this is God. And it's amazing what an unction came. So in verse 48, it says, "It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand to his bag, took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And that stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." And looky what happens with the power of God that is with David, just like the power of God that was with Jonathan. Remember what happened? It gave encouragement to all the fearful brethren that they rose up. See, it just will take one. By the grace of God, if we'll go after God and we will rise up against the enemy, it's amazing how effectual the fervent power of the Spirit can work in a people. That's why your life is important. Many reasons, but that is a huge reason by the grace of God. Your life matters. Your life matters to come to church. Your life matters to come to Bible study. Your life matters to come to fellowship. And it does. Don't let the enemy ever get to think anybody in here. If you know Jesus and you have his blood, you're a son of the living God. Amen. You're not of this world. You may think you are, but you ain't up here. And praise be to God, your citizenship's in heaven. You're seated, hallelujah, in the heavens in Christ. And I thank God for you. And that's what's so wonderful. That's real. That's what real is. Because it's truth. It's the word of the Lord. And so, what happens here in verse 52, let's read. "And the men of Israel and of Judah rose, shouted, and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And they wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents." So once again, what encouragement that we have here, that same absolute, full, overcoming heart was in the heart of a Jonathan and the heart of a David. It's such a type here, because as we'll see, and those that have studied the Word of God, David is a type of Christ. It's wonderful. And Jonathan is a type of the bride. And she is like him. You know, Jonathan doesn't get a lot of study, but as you start to allow the Word of God to be revealed, you realize he's like David. She's like him. And I pray we take that encouragement as we go. So then what happens here is David, with Goliath's head in his hand, I'm so thankful he didn't let that prize go. And so he's got Goliath's head in his hand. That's a big old head, I'm sure, for a 12-year-old to be carrying around. That's a big pumpkin. But he goes before King Saul, and Saul, in verse 58, the question is, not who are you, whose son are you? And I love that. It's so wonderful. You talk about what's profound and all that matters. Who do you say that I am? Now, Jesus, we know, as they answered, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God." Amen. Gives me chills. I've spoken to many people that, unfortunately, will stop. "Oh, Jesus was the greatest teacher. He was the greatest prophet." Yes, but was he the divine, only begotten Son of God? "Oh, I can't believe that." Well, you missed the whole thing. Because he's divine. If Jesus isn't divine, the only begotten Son of God, that you see him and praise him, that he is Lord, and that blood that he shed was for your sin, you've missed it. He's the Son of God. That's profound. Now, here's what David says. He says, "I am the son of Jesse." That word Jesse, I'm so thankful. I possess, and even more specifically, I possess grace. Isn't that who our Lord and Savior is? Full of grace and truth. And then the Bethlehemite means the house of bread. So he possesses the house of bread. Once again, what a type of Christ that we have in this. Because our Lord does encompass all. He is all in all. And this is what enlightens Jonathan as he hears the word of David, as now we go into chapter 18, verse 1. Back to Jonathan and his testimony. So here's David. He just ends the speaking before Saul with Goliath's head in his hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I'll tell you what, that was a transformation, wasn't it? Amen. Now, we have seen Jonathan the warrior, and now we're going to see Jonathan the lover, in a sense, that love in his heart. And isn't that true? The two sides of the bride, she's a fighter, she's a warrior, and she's a lover. And we're going to see this now with this type of the bride in Jonathan. And this sets up, and to set up, I should say, this scene in its right perspective, let's remember again, David at this time is probably somewhere around 12 to 15 years old. Jonathan is probably 40 or 45 years old. And to me, that's just such an amazing thing. David is just a little boy and a shepherd boy from a family that is not of anything grand. Jonathan is the heir in line to be king of Israel. And he's also 30 years plus older than David at this time, as he's hearing the words spoken by this lowly shepherd boy. Now notice, as we just read here, it says, when David had made an end of speaking, it wasn't David's countenance, it wasn't what David had done, but it was the end of his words. It was after Jonathan heard everything, the entirety of what David said. Brothers and sisters, after we will hear, if we will listen to the whole counsel of God, our souls will be knit together with Christ. And that's the truth. He didn't cut it short. It wasn't because all of the fanfare. It wasn't all of these different things that were going around. Think of how many others that heard that in that throne room. I'm sure there were many, but there was only one that it says that his soul was knit together. And just mighty, I think about that. How people, so many people can hear Paul's gospel. Because you know what? It says Paul's gospel's been preached to every creature under heaven. How many love Paul's gospel? How many believe Paul's gospel? How many, by the grace of God, are running to win Christ Jesus, his bridegroom? I was talking to someone this past week, and I know that there's a battle. There's always battles going on in families and things. And we get hurt. We get discouraged in different ways. But we have to understand it's in his faithfulness he afflicts us. He's going to prove his love, praise God, in us. That we're in love with him. That true worshiper, let me tell you something. That's going to be a worshiper who worships in spirit and in truth. And when you worship in love shed abroad, you're going to get hurt. When you really love, you get hurt. You hurt. And in truth, that truth is going to work effectually. You're going to be tried, as the word of God says. Amen. But, you know, when we have these things and we have this whole counsel of God, by the grace of God, we need to fall in love with the whole counsel. That's all of Jesus, the whole word. And it was something because that what was said is that there isn't any other place that preaches it. I wish there were. I would pray that there would. But the word of God says that there's a famine for the word of God. That was preached to all those people. That testimony is Jonathan was the one that his soul was knit together with David's. Everybody was thinking about the event, remember? Just like with Moses, Israel saw the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. This is again speaking of the heart, and even beyond that, we're speaking here is of the soul. So this is, again, such an encouragement to us. And notice here, it doesn't say the heart, does it? It doesn't say that Jonathan, his heart, meaning the emotions of man or of earth, this was the soul. The soul was knit in love together. And brothers and sisters, this is so wonderful that we need to remember this. And I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, because we'll come to that statement where it says that the love of Jonathan and the love between Jonathan and David exceeded the love of a woman. I want us to really understand and grasp this right now, because some people don't really understand this. The love between a man and a woman is the height of love that we know as earthly love. That's the height. That's marriage. That's where everything culminates. That's the pinnacle of it all. Throughout history, everything, in a sense, of so much of the glory of man have been in the relationships between a man and a woman. And it's the truth. So as far as earth goes, that's the height of love. So when we're talking about beyond the love of a man and a woman, beyond the love of a heart, yes, we're talking about the exceeding love, the spiritual love of a soul. Because that love of a soul is not of this earth. It exceeds it. That's the love that's from heaven. Everything from above exceeds anything on this earth. That's why the love of a soul exceeds the love between a man and a woman. And that soul love, praise God, can be between a brother and a brother. It can be between a brother and a sister. It exceeds the love of a man and a woman. And I thank God for that. And this is exactly what this was speaking of, and how their hearts were knit together, and how, praise God, that knit together, that same statement is in Colossians chapter 2. It speaks in Colossians chapter 2, those that hope to attain to the bride, those who would win Christ as bridegroom, our souls will be knit together and compacted in love. This same love, this same affection, praise God, this bone of bone and flesh of flesh. That is why Paul said, let your love grow more and more to one another. That's why Christ Jesus said, by loving one another, we fulfill the law. See, love is the completion. It's the perfection, praise God, of the bride. It's about love. It's the truth in love. Praise God that we would know the love of Christ. Amen. And we enter into that love with one another. And I thank God for that. And this is that love that transformed Jonathan as he heard the words of David. That was the word that caused his heart to fall in love. It's the word of God that causes your heart to fall in love with Jesus. You can't fall in love without hearing the whole counsel of God. Amen. And then Jonathan just didn't hear it once, did he? He was around David as much as he could be. How much are we around the Word of God? When we're in love, you want to be around it all the time. That's what you want to hear. That's what you want your fellowship to be. So here we go. You see what happens is this glowing humility that transforms Jonathan. And that's the love. Once again, he's 30 years older than this little shepherd boy. He's in line to be the king. He's from the royalty. Yet love has this man surrender to the anointed of God. Love has this man surrender to the very lover of the heart of God. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. This is what this does. And this only again, truth in love. Think of that. You hear the truth, it will cause you to fall in love. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. That's why it has to be the word of the Lord. It's not going to come through singing for 45 minutes. It's not going to come through, you know, we're going to have fellowship and home parties and home this and that and we'll have outreach this. That's not going to fall in love. You have to hear him. You have to hear him and you have to hear to the end of the speaking. It's the same way. That type is right in here. Praise God. And so what happens is there's a surrender. And this precious Jonathan, he surrenders to the anointed of God. But yet, here's the beautiful thing. Jonathan did not know at this time that David was the anointed of God. See, David was already anointed to be king because the Lord had already sent Samuel and said, Samuel, I've chosen one that has my heart. Saul is not going to go after me. So I'm taking that away. And you're going to anoint one of Jesse's sons. And you remember how Jesse had all of his sons come through there, you know, from the oldest to the biggest and whatever. And both he and Samuel are sitting there, and, you know, Samuel's getting distraught. Well, don't you got another son? And Jesse kind of forgot about that little guy that was out there with the sheep. And he says, well, I got another one. Well, what was so beautiful is Samuel stood up and they all stood up. And I love that, because Samuel knew in heart right then, that's God's man. The one that was forgotten about by even his father. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes we think it's going to be this one or that one. And it was so sweet. No, that's God's man. Isn't that something? That's God's man. That's you. God's lady, God's man. That's you. Amen. Right, Gilead? Huh? Me? You're my one. You're my choice. And that's what was so beautiful there. And we thank the Lord for that. So, the only ones that knew that David was anointed king at this time, would be king, was David, Samuel, and then David's family. His brethren were there as they saw him be anointed, and his daddy. But they kept that secret, because Samuel knew that if Saul found out, Samuel would be dead. Because Saul would have hated that, and he would have struck out to do whatever he could. So that was kept secret. So Jonathan was not told of the anointing. But yet when Jonathan heard the words of David, he didn't need to see it actually happen. But when he heard the words of David, he immediately knew that he was the anointed. Isn't that how the word of the Lord is with you? I hear about so many when they finally, you know, didn't even know that, well, some people say, well, I found Jesus. No, he found you. And I appreciate the testimony of some hearts that say, you know, I wasn't even looking for the Lord. But then I heard the word. I heard about this Jesus. And it transformed my life. He knew the anointing. He heard the words. He perceived that only by hearing the words and hearing the words of God. He saw the very anointed of God. Hearing the words of God and hearing the word of God, we will see more and more of the anointed. Amen? We'll see the anointed's heart. We're talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is it. He's, praise God, he's God. He's very God of very God. He's the only begotten Son of God, the Lamb, Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's everything. He's all in all. And as you begin to hear all the word of God, then he becomes the last one to you, bridegroom. You see it all. All the layers begin to come off. And I appreciate these different ones that have, you know, come in. And by the grace of God, you see that. You see, he's bridegroom. Praise the Lord. And you see how much he loves you. And again, it's all from hearing the whole counsel. Now, as we close this up, what a testimony this is of the lowliness of bridal ones. Always descending in love before the anointed one, Jesus. And that's what Jonathan did to David. He descended. He surrendered. Didn't have to, but those words struck his heart. And it was just overwhelming to him. There was nothing he could do but surrender. We're going to read as we go on next time we get together, Lord willing, is that it struck Jonathan in heart so much that he took off all of his garments. He took off his sword. He gave everything to David. He surrendered it all. You're everything to me. And that's, again, this precious type of what the Lord is to us. Hearing more and more. And we're transformed in heart more and more. We're ravished in heart more and more as we hear more and more. And then finally, as we close tonight, I want to go back to that word, knit. That word, K-N-I-T. It's the best part, I believe, of the whole thing. The word knit means joined together to make stronger. And that's in the Old Testament Hebrew. Isn't that wonderful? Their hearts or their souls were knit together to make stronger. And I think of the word of God to us, even the definition of the word vessel, it means adding to the usefulness of the husband. You think about Paul's gospel, and we've been talking about Colossians a lot lately. I know the sisters are studying in Colossians, and I'm so thankful that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 2:25, it says Paul's gospel completes the word of God. It finishes it. It fulfills it. Praise God. So we know that Paul's gospel, which is the wife for Jesus, It completes the Word, or it completes Jesus. We've rejoiced in this. So only his bride, his queen, praise God. Jesus will not even bring forth judgment till he has her. Amen. He's not going to bring forth judgment. Jesus will not take the throne as God till he has his queen with him. Amen. Even the glorious day of the Lord will not even begin. That moment won't even begin unto the catalyst of it all. He has his readied wife. The day of the Lord will only begin at the moment that Jesus Christ has his bride in the air, arm in arm. Knit together, joined together to make stronger what we are to him. You know, full of grace and truth, but there's something of all of that grace and truth, all the counsel, till the end of words, the end of speaking, working in you, it'll have us to be the glory descending from heaven. Amen. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I know a type of that in my sweet wife. Again, she doesn't come. I get to talk about her a little bit. But it's true that it's sweet to me. I light up when I'm with her. She lights up most of the time. Sometimes she'll ignite up when I'm with her. Today was, I'm just teasing. But she is the glory of me. Yep. And I'm thankful. And I'm grateful to God that I know that his grace and his love and his mercy that I am so smitten with and in love with and praise him more and more all the time. And it expands me to even praise him more for. Is changing me from glory to glory. I'm becoming immense glory for him. Because I'm bold in his grace. Oh, if you knew me, you'd shake your head. Oh, no, not you. Oh, yes, his grace. Oh, yes, his mercy. And I'm so thankful for our Lord, aren't you? Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.